experience.
Batman experience.
Batman experience. Batman experience. Experience.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings 2022 John Deere Classic Picks Preview. One and done. Who's Andrew Kirst? Who's not Andrew Kirst for the week? This you will find out in this show. If you're watching the video version, good news. You'll probably get some Irish Open and some Live Portland Invitational talk as well. If you're on the podcast feed, it's on tomorrow's show. So good reason to go sub to Mayo Media Network on YouTube and smash the like button to the video. I'm away this weekend, so I won't be able to do the research show for the Scottish Open during the normal time slot that I do. Let me know in the comment section if you still want to see a research show. Probably won't be able to have like the full Fantasy National walkthrough because the official field won't be loaded by the time that I'll actually have to record said show. But I can do a course preview, try to set up with odds, look back at last year, that kind of thing from the Renaissance Club. So, let me know if you want that or not, because I will not have the full official field, but I'll have most of probably the names that you want to play in that field. Just let me know. All right. Rate and review the podcast, and happy birthday to our guy, Moosonomics, Big Moose, the creator of Fantasy National. In honor of Moose's birthday, fantasynational.com/Mayo will get you 20% off of all membership levels. Open Championship coming up, so I highly suggest that you go do that. Jeff Feinberg is on the line. Jeffrey, I watched the Euro playoff yesterday with Hautong and Peters, and it inspired me to play like Hautong on the course when I went and played yesterday. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go after every single shot. I opened double, bogey, bogey, double, and had to change my strategy.
That was wild. It seemed like a lot of guys were celebrating their big Hautong tickets. Excited for you to get away with the family, I assume, for Canada Day this weekend. So well deserved.
Ah, no, sir. No, sir. Oh. Kids are staying at home. The wife and I are going away for a friend's birthday. We're actually just like 15 minutes south of like Cabot Cliffs and Cabot Links. And I might have to press my luck to see if I can get like the earliest tea time on Saturday morning if I'm like not too hungover to get out.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, it would just be me out there. Not like none of my friends play. It's just me. Is that too weird to like sneak out and go play this course?
I mean, you've played it before, right?
Yeah.
And you're like somewhat regional, so there'll be other opportunities. I hope certainly as I get this knee working fully. I don't know. Most would say that's not weird at all. Like if we're like, that's not weird at all to play and then to play with other singles or to just join a group to play the course on a beautiful summer's morning. So no, to answer your question, no, it is not weird.
It wasn't so much of, I don't mind joining like as a single.
Your wife might just say like, weren't you just here? Aren't you coming back here in a little bit? Yada, da, da, da. You know, that's like the only thing you'll have to fight. Anyone else like going to the region from a different part of the country or world could probably convince their wife that, yeah, you should let me do that. Like, when are we ever here? But your wife will have that battle back that I let you come here all the time, Pat.
I mean, I wish it was all the time that I was there. But here's the thing. The group of us, I think there's like eight of us, are having lunch at the golf course that day. So I could finish my round and just meet them there.
Done. Honestly, you gotta like, yeah, you gotta take your shot. I think it'll work. She'll do it. It's not weird. That's for certain. It is not weird. I don't think anyone will find that weird. As I've gotten older, doing things by myself, I'm not a table for one, Mo Sislak, Al Borland kind of guy, but I like, see my like I've had thoughts like, oh, the Jays like at 2 o'clock, like I don't know, I'd go to the game by myself, I don't give a shit, it's in a nice stadium, go to a movie by myself, I'd sit and I'd eat a meal by myself, listening to a show, reading an article, having an article read to me, like I don't know, I enjoy that a lot more. So yeah, there's nothing weird about it.
Yeah, I am very pro movies by yourself. I would like to go with someone if there's a movie I want to see. I mean, I've seen plenty of movies by myself over the years. My wife actually likes to go to movies by herself, too. It's a nice getaway, especially when you're around, like, the little kids all the time, and she's constantly around me, I'm constantly around her. Just, you know, here's a two-hour break just to go, like, sit in silence and just be away from everything else and do something that you enjoy. I ran it by the guy whose birthday it is that we're going to celebrate. He's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. So that's step one pass. You know, I felt like I should ask him first about it, so maybe we can get this sorted out. I can send you some pictures from the course. And maybe if you do come down and your knee is getting better, we can do a full day shoot. We'll bring Cusp with us.
Yeah, no, my knee is like, I've kind of been given like a 95% medical all go. But I don't know. There's still, I'm going to try to, I'll be hitting balls. I was a little anxious when I said time to book a tee time. Time to hit some balls. I'm going to hit some balls this week. Maybe just like 7-9 iron wedge. I can't help but go full throttle and try to do something. But yeah. I just don't want to go to Cabot Links when I'm like afraid of walking into a steep bunker at this exact moment, if that makes any sense, or walking out of one. Those are like where my head is at. And yeah, I don't know. Golf's hard enough to have like mental thoughts about like things, I'd be worse than I already am.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Links would probably be a better one for you. It's very flat. It's very linksy. The Cliffs is just like whoop up and down. Yes, Paul, you have a question.
Plus Tim would be there.
Correct.
The chances for Jeff to hurt himself again, very high.
Yeah, good times. And I'm replaying that. I actually like don't know about baseball game by yourself. It's way too like slow. It's not a movie. Long. I love a baseball game, but like baseball game by yourself.
Did you?
What are you gonna be doing next? Like keeping score?
Jimmy, I mean, that's, you can just go with Tim. Tim will keep score for you.
No, I love a baseball game, but I thought about that. Like, there's just too much, like, needed conversing, I think, for me to want to do that level of by myself.
Did you have any take? I saw a bunch of people, I guess the clowns on Twitter took a break of, like, complaining outrageously about the LIV Tour, and they shifted their focus onto Haotong yesterday because he didn't shake Peter's hand right away because he was too fired up from winning. And the interview was just spectacular. And people were like, oh, how dare he in that interview swear? He said, fuck. You know, there could be children listening to this. Like, it's the same people over and over and over again, just are morally outraged by absolutely everything, apparently. I thought it was fantastic. It was a fun playoff. Apparently, Peter's had no problem with it. They talked afterwards like they're pals. It was an incredible tour de force performance in that playoff. Just watching it through, you're like, oh. And then the blade on the chip after the two shots and the putt. It was incredible. Shout out to Haotong. It's been a long way back since he was on that driving range in the darkness at Harding Park, and Cust declared it over for him at the PGA Championship. He went from leading the PGA Championship to being ranked like 1,000th in the world. But now he's back 3 years later.
And I thoroughly enjoyed that. I mean, both of those players, Peters and Haotong, are very, I don't know, they're players. I don't know. The camera like finds them a lot, I guess I should say. So I enjoy both of them and how they demonstrate themselves. Nothing Haotong did bothered me, especially if you watched any of that. You could tell that they had a nice, positive day of sportsmanship on the golf course. To know it was taken care of after the fact, clearly no surprise. The guy popped. I mean, that's allowed. I don't know. I give him a mulligan on that. So, yeah, no issues with the swearing. That's life.
Travelers was a little bit different. I was out on the course, so I actually had it taped and didn't know what happened. Came home and watched it. I felt gutted for Thigawa. Reminder, this tournament and Phoenix are essentially the same leaderboard if you go and look at it, with all the same guys doing same fields, same leaderboard, even like KH Lee and JT Poston, Martin Laird, all guys that do really well in Phoenix pop up. Thigawa obviously blew it in Phoenix, blew it again here. He's close though, isn't he? Would you go back to him this week? I mean, his number is ridiculous, but
the 40 on DraftKings is top of market. And I don't think it's that unfair, because there's a moment yesterday I thought it could be like 22 when you're like actually reading the field.
Yeah.
So I don't think 40 is unfair based on the field strength. I mean, we all thought about it watching it in the moment that it just had these Mito vibes as it was happening. And the announcers brought that up, you know, sort of after it happened. And Mito was able, these guys are so young. He really is an emotional player. And we know that Mito is sort of this, like, as John Rahm likes to try to be a goldfish, like people that actually know Mito say, like, no, he truly lives and has always been that, like, easy to forget, move on, keep going guy. So he might wear this one a little harder, but I don't think the 40 is unfair. And I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him bounce back. You just, like, this doesn't this one just turn into a putting contest? I mean, there were two things that were so true in life, Pat, when we were younger watching golf. One was Tiger Woods going to beat all your asses. And number two was Zach Johnson or Steve Stricker were going to play for this thing.
And then Spieth came along, and then he was the other guy who was in it.
And this tournament, like, it's gotten so... we can make fun, and the lift field's going to be stronger, and that's just, people are going to, like, poke holes. This is just, you know, I guess methodical of Liv to pick this spot in the sense they know they'd go head-to-head with the actual worst field on tour. But this field, like, John Deere used to have to send a charter, like, to the British Open because the field was so strong, like, so strong. There was a handful of players who wanted to get over that they would entice them to play with a charter. Now it feels like it's, you know, you need to buy a first class ticket to go with Berger.
Yeah, Berger, Zach Johnson. Is Jason Day in the Open Championship? I don't think that he is.
I have no idea, but if they're restrictive, then I don't know how he is.
I mean, he's in this field this week. That's the only plausible explanation I can come up with that he is playing in this tournament.
Yeah, you missed the cut on Friday. You were hanging around because you were just taking the free plane ride.
Yeah,
you were going over, you'd see the guy on the range for 2 days and maybe even get an interview if he was good enough.
I spoke about this on the research show off the top of the PGA is a real problem right now with this event because they're still running two alternate events the next 2 weeks, opposite the Scottish, opposite the Open Championship for the Barbasol and Barracuda. You have this, then you come out of it and you're in Minneapolis and you're in Detroit. And that wouldn't be so bad, except think about the guys that would always play in the 3M Open. You had Dustin, you had Bryson, you had Matthew Wolff. All three of those guys, they're on the Live Tour. Those guys are on the Live Tour now. And then Detroit, Ricky and Bryson were the two biggest draws that the Rocket Mortgage had. Obviously, those guys aren't playing anymore either. So you have this, like, five-event stretch, and I feel like the Wyndham will still get a few players just in advance of the FedEx Cup playoffs returning for the first time. People seem to like playing the Wyndhams. But you have this, like, either five- or six-event stretch. I theorize that they should make this almost like the Farmers through Genesis, make that its own separate, like, four-event tournament with a huge payday. They need to do something with this five- to six-event stretch. I kind of said, like, not necessarily Korn Ferry-ish, but for all of the mid-tier guys that aren't playing in the Scottish and aren't playing in the Open Championship, try to come up with something. Like, I saw people talking about, what do you do with all the top-ranked college players coming out right now? That, you know, I think Cootie ended up winning on the Korn Ferry Tour this week, but there's only so many spots available on the Korn Ferry Tour for these guys, or on the Canadian Tour, or on the Latino Tour, that maybe this stretch where the fields are going to be weak anyway, hell, like, you have Omar Uretsi in the field. I'm pretty sure that guy's, like, 70 years old. Don't quote me on that. He's 53 years old, and he plays, like, the same two tournaments every single year. Good player. He has 9 career professional wins, but, you know, he should be on the Senor Tour at this point. Maybe utilize this stretch to try to build some stars. Like, even, I mean, Matthew Wolff won at the 3M. Morikawa won at the Barracuda. Like, this is a good time to spotlight some guys, and no one's going to be watching these tournaments anyway. Give them something to play for. Put $5 million in for this five-event stretch that, you know, if you end up with the most points over these five events, something happens. You guarantee 20 tour cards or something like that. I feel like the PGA Tour is like Flanders' dad, where they've tried nothing and they're all out of ideas.
That was a very well-spoken rant. People that always bug me for interrupting you, you notice I didn't even say a word. I didn't even try to. I'm sorry. I always try to work on that problem. I'm not smart enough to figure out any sort of solution here. And you're... And I think something that you just brought up was great. I mean, we felt that deadness after the Masters, but for a month, but there's like a new landscape now where that deadness is not going to almost be acceptable or go over well. And yeah, they're swimming. They're out there and they're being surrounded by sharks on a boat, and they got a problem. And I don't have a solution. And I to almost piggyback on your point, I laugh at the people. Listen, you laugh at the people that got outraged about Liv. The one thing, it's not even the Saudi money. I got outraged about one thing through all of Liv, because I think they can all go and get their money. And I think at the same time, you're allowed to do it. It makes total sense to go take your money. But at the same time, if someone who's like incredibly passionate or connected to 9/11 wants to bug you about that or ask you about that, if that's important, they're also, in my opinion, totally entitled to that. The only thing that outraged me was how being told, any player who told me not to care, why do you care? Stop talking about it. It's not important. That's the only thing that outraged me, because I love it so much, Pat. And I don't have an answer, but I laugh at the people. Like, lives in Portland this week. Look at that field. The people that, like, still can't give it any credit are the people that called it dead at Riviera. Like, it's dead before it starts. Like, look where they are. They got a first event. Like, you have to acknowledge their – you have to call strike a strike and a ball a ball. And those are – you have to, like, mini wins, big wins. And some level, they're wins – for Liv. And the people that downplay Brooks and Bryson as no big deal, or even Wolf because you're so goddamn short-sighted, I get there's a filter in a factory that's going to bring us a new Wolf, but just think where your mind was 18 months ago on Matthew Wolf. So to now think that's not a big deal, you just see everything in the moment. And Brooks and Bryson, I can make my jokes about how upset even Brooks's comments from February. Where, like, you saw Dustin's comments from February. He's like, I'm committed to the PGA Tour. It's been great to me. Brooks literally used his comments in February to also, Pat, laugh at the people who are going to leave. So I don't know that, and like, I'm a, you know me.
You're frozen. That's how we know you.
So, you know, and people can think I'm beholden to that. And part of me still thinks Brooks is a goddamn genius. He's going to get to play the majors. He took his money. He doesn't care about those events anyway. And I'll tell you why he's an even bigger genius. Because hopefully in his contract, he can just get all the surgeries he effing wants. Because he's glass and he's always broken. But now he doesn't need to, like, play to make money. Do you know what I mean? Like, or to get, like, he can literally always get surgery, get healthy, barely even play on the Live Tour. So I hope he uses every opportunity now, like, get freaking fully healthy. If, you know, but maybe he doesn't even care to be the guy of the past too. You could argue that. All in all, I totally agree what you said, though. I don't have a better solution. But I don't understand how people are the people that downplay Brooks and Bryson leaving. Bryson DeChambeau, when healthy, Brooks, when healthy, is maybe the most feared player on tour. When healthy and on a leaderboard with you. Bryson DeChambeau, when healthy, in my opinion, has the skill set to be the best player in the world. And people downplay them leaving? That's crazy to me.
It's funny because people have accused me of being Team Liv here. I'm not. I'm Team PGA. I just want the PGA to get better because of this. With some competition, let's try to evolve what we're doing. And you kind of hit on it. You have that dead stretch between the Masters and the PGA Championship, and now you have this dead stretch essentially between the U.S. Open and the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs, because all of the best players are going to be overseas. So you could do one of two things, work in conjunction with the DP World Tour and turn this, like, alternate swing into a thing, and then co-sanction the Scottish Open. They should co-sanction the Irish Open as well and make that a PGA event. So you'd have the Irish. Even Custa actually mentioned that, why don't you just put the Canadian Open after the U.S. Open, and then you would have the U.S. Open, Canadian Open, Irish Open, Scottish Open, and then the British Open, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks. That would be intriguing with a whole bunch of national opens. I think that's a path they could take. And then they should take, like, the Zurich and move it to this part of the schedule, because if no one's going to care, no one's going to care. And maybe they should do it a lot like This one is tougher because, you know, that weird Scandinavian mixed event? Someone brought this to my attention, like the Annika and Henrik Stenson event that they have on the Euro Tour. Maybe you could do a PGA, LPGA type of thing during this part of the schedule as well. The issue becomes that if all the good players are overseas, is anyone really going to give a shit if there's anything like that? It's one thing if the top LPGA players are playing with Rory and Justin Thomas. It's different if they have to play with Christian Bezuidenhout and Adam Shank.
100%. And we'll see like what happens in the sense that it, the niche, like the people in our orbit on tour, on Twitter tour, I wish. And I would include myself in this, seem to think at this moment in time, Pat, that we will be more entertained. I like to tell myself I will be more entertained by like Sahith versus Patrick Rogers to win the John Deere versus anything that can happen on Live.
That's but not true.
I don't know that that's true.
It's not true.
I don't know that. Yeah, it's probably not. That's like a fantasy. A lot of us, like, people are trying to tell themselves. But I'm also self-aware enough to know that's probably not true. Like, you let me watch Patrick Reed play Brooks Koepka. I want to see the bad guys. Boom, boom, boom. You know?
How is that not their team name? Why don't they have the bad guys? And in honor of Scott Hall, they can have Razor Ramon as their logo.
Yeah. You would think. I don't know, the dead zone. And it all comes back to this one thing. It's like the same people like us that say, why can't baseball just go to like 150 from 162, 148, 145? I don't know. Everything's bought and paid for. Like these companies, John Deere this week, they must be the most loyal people on goddamn earth to be, keep getting this shit sandwich dropped on their freaking doorstep. 3M, who's Minnesota? Who's Detroit?
Rocket Mortgage.
Like, these are the preeminent companies in America that stand with the PGA Tour, America worldwide. Like, you know, so I don't know. They have those relationships, and those relationships are everything. They're really like the backbone of the tour. And I don't think they want to do any. And to your point, you're saying try to make these events even bigger. I don't know. It's not going to get – the PGA is in for the world of hurt. Kind of feels like we're only at the very beginning now. Like, there's – whatever you said, Flanders. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's kind of what it is, that Flanders analogy I made.
Here's the other issue right now with the PGA Tour. We made it 22 minutes into the show, and we didn't really recap the Travelers outside of talking about Thigala making double bogey on 18, Xander making birdie on 18, is that when the LIV took the guys and the specific players that they ended up taking, whether it be Brooks, Bryson, Phil, even, I guess, I don't see Bubba in the field this week, but apparently he and Fowler are both gone too, although they're not appearing in this tournament, which is kind of weird.
All pit players that people seem to engage with and like?
That's the thing. So when you have Xander and Cantlay on a leaderboard, like, Thigala is interesting to me. I like Thigala. Is there
my wife's favorite player.
Are there any two players, great players, top 10 players in the world, like Xander and Cantlay, who are just not interesting to watch like this?
Yeah, that's, I mean, listen, my wife like barely watches on Sunday, and maybe she just caught Phoenix because it was like Super Bowl. But like, Thigala is interesting to my wife, who like doesn't give a shit about anybody. Like, that's like weird. So I don't know. He's like popping off the screen as a likable, interesting fella to the normies. Xander Cantlay, I don't know. They're best friends. It seemed pretty boring. Xander, I mean, the contrast of Xander's emotions to Thigala's. I mean, Xander's putt, what was it, on 17? Guy didn't even like make a motion. You know, in his head, he's like, motherfuck, shit, fuck. Like, how the hell did that not drop? It was like 2.5 dimples into the hole. I don't know. It's part of how I guess they handle it. But yeah, they're both boring players. I'm not here to speak differently on that. But we would have had arguments a year ago, Pat, that like, no, not to say no one cares, but like, who's more boring? Like, who's like Justin Thomas, the most boring, no one cares about good player ever.
Oh, I completely agree. He's starting to develop some sort of personality.
But big time.
I would lump him into that as well. And I mean, the reason that they're boring on the course is actually what makes them really good at golf. It's all like Dustin Johnson. Like, Dustin Johnson's a boring guy. Like, no one despite the fact that he ended up on the PIP and he's won two majors, he's one of the greatest players of all time. He's fucking boring. He seems like not boring when he's not on the golf course, but what
makes your friend, he's, yeah.
Yeah, he's party guy DJ, but when he's on the course, he's like a robot. And so are these guys. And how having that short memory, the goldfish memory, is what makes them so good on top of just being so skillful at everything. But I mean, shout out to Xander for winning his first full field cut event since the Greenbrier, like 5 years ago. It was funny on the live chat show. And we'll be doing the live chat show this week. Tambo is on vacation. It's me and Ben Raza, 9:15 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday to talk you through all of the DraftKings picks, the final bets, the weather, and to take your questions. Someone actually mentioned, it's like, well, can I even play Xander because his win equity is so much lower? And I actually had to say, it's like, look, it's not that his win equity is lower. It's just we only have such a small sample of events to go through. If you took this event and played it 100 times, his win equity is probably top four in the field. That's why he gets listed at these prices every single week, because he actually does have win equity. But when it plays out in your one single simulation, in reality, it doesn't turn out that way. But all of a sudden, it does. Like, that's not how anyone should actually judge win equity. I know I've been guilty of it. You've been guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Sam Burns is a better winner than Xander Schauffele. Well, he has been in the limited time that we've seen him, but Xander, what's this, his like seventh win now?
Yep. Very well said. And if anyone's wondering, I'm doing okay. It's not like Xander and Matthew Fitzpatrick were guys like I bet a ton in the last 2 months. And like, yeah, so I'm all right. I'm great. Not going to get my Xander money back ever now.
Well, it's not like they can make him any shorter than he's been.
I'm okay. Yep. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Well, all right. Well, I'm
your fun.
I'm glad that you're okay. Let's move to the John Deere Classic and talk about this field, which I know this gets said a lot. It's usually around like Pebble Beach, but at least Pebble Beach usually has like four or five really good guys. This field is trash. Par 71, TPC Deer Run, Silvis, Illinois, the Quad Cities, 7,289 yards. Very easy course. Yep. Hit some iron shots, make some putts from 8 feet, win this tournament. Lucas Glover is the defending champion. We've seen Brian Harman win. We've seen Dylan Hot Fire Fratelli win this event. Jordan Spieth, you mentioned Steve Stricker, who I think went back-to-back-to-back years. Or Zach Johnson, another prolific winner at this event from the area. So the guys that are like from Wisconsin and Iowa tend to do pretty well at this event because they're usually the names that come and play at this event. We're not even seeing, I mean, we're seeing those two guys, but they're well past their prime. Stricker even gagged the senior Open champ or U.S. Open to Patty Harrington this week. He was winning for, I think, the first two rounds, and then Harrington made a charge in the final round, ended up topping. Stricker finished like six back by the end of it. That was actually a fun tournament to watch. I caught some of that as well. It was actually a good weekend for between the LPGA, the major, the senior U.S. Open, like at the conclusion of the Euro event, and even the conclusion of the Travelers. Actually a pretty fun weekend just to like kind of grab bits and pieces of golf all around. But this tournament is just trash at the top. Would it shock you to know who the betting favorite is on DraftKings Sportsbook?
No, it wouldn't shock me to know one bit. I think that would have, like, you'd, I don't even think it's close to a second favorite, but I guess the sportsbook have made it close at the top. It's not, though.
There are co-favorites on DraftKings Sportsbook for the John Deere Classic. Daniel Hausjerberger is 12-1, and so is Adam Hadwin.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Webb.
No,
who was,
no.
Was tell me he's tied with Berger, which also would have surprised me. That's wild. That's wild. Just to let Spieth had the hole out here, right? Where he threw the rake, or where Greller threw the rake?
No, that was at the Travelers. This was the hole.
This was the pontoon boat with Zach got the gun in his back in his putt for a big tie or something, right?
I do believe that Spieth did chip in on either 17 or 18 to force a playoff to get a win here. I think it was his first win back in 2015.
Bryson's first win. Sorry. Bryson's first win was here, and I remember that one because I was tweeting, getting excited that Patrick Rogers, I hope you brought your passport, you're going to the Open, I bet on you. And then he fell apart, and Bryson just, took it.
And then I thought that Bryson was going to be a great play at the Open the next week. He was the first guy off, and I had him like 100% on DraftKings. Triple bogey on the first hole, end of Bryson. Remember that very vividly. I think it was at Carnoustie. Either way... Yeah, Berger,
though, I mean, Like how he played at Pebble Beach in that shit field. We saw him at Honda, a field we like to make fun of. We would have had another example because he withdrew from Mexico. But this is a guy that so we don't have the result there. But I remember at Mexico, I think we were betting him on the notion of this guy really likes shitty fields. You can feel comfortable betting him. Shitty fields apparently are this thing that he's bat like he's doing, and you could call it genius. Like, I'm going to zag. Like, you guys, you don't want shitty fields? I'm going to take this money. I'm going to take these FedEx Cup points, and I'm going to try to beat, and I'm going to beat these, you know, he gets to, like, have his Brooks Koepka mindset. Like, screw all these guys. And it's apparently worked for him, at least this season. So if you wanted to back him, you couldn't justify that.
I agree. I think it depends on how you want to allocate your money this week. Like, do you want to go to the top, make two bets? Like, if you just want to bet Berger and Webb, I mean, sounds pretty good. Webb's 16-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Then he goes into, like, Bez, 22-1, McCarthy, 25-1, CH3, 25-1, Mav McNeely, 28-1. That's everyone below 30-1. That's not super inspiring here. Paul did point out that it's been like the jabroni overvalued losers who don't win, who have won the past 2 weeks. Like Matt Fitzpatrick won at like 25-1. Xander wins at 16-1. That maybe it's just Bezadenhout time. Everyone's been betting him at 70-1 and 66-1. No one will bet him at 22-1. You can probably find a better number than that. But wouldn't that just make way too much sense?
Okay, I totally agree with that. Two guys won that like many people just like red ink, like never winners, don't bet them. Yada, yada, yada. That is who has won. I guess that's your guy. It's honestly hard to find that guy for me. That Bezadenhout might be the only one. I made one bet at 75-1 that I, you know, followed your lead on and we'll get to. But yeah, I guess Bezadenhout's that guy. No, like we're forcing that, I guess, is what I'm going to say. Like we're really forcing that. It's not like the Xander Matt Fitzpatrick results.
No, but in fairness, you can get him as low right now at 33-1 in some spots. Much, much more palatable than the 22-1.
Fair. This field, fair. And this is a field like if there's any guy who's a long shot that you have like the most modicum of respect and believe the guy is good, it's almost like you're beholden to bet that guy.
Oh, 100%. That's all I did this week. I just went down the board. I was like, oh, I like that guy and that guy and that guy. Yeah, sure. Let's go with them.
Yeah, like, I really liked that guy a year ago. I believe he can be a winner on PGA Tour. Like, if you're a stand for anybody, like, if you have, like, this intrinsic belief that anyone in this field is a winner on the PGA Tour, how do you, like, look through them? I mean, you have to cut down your list, but sort of like where I am, kind of like you. Look at a bunch of losers. But at one point, I thought, that guy's going to win out here, and maybe this is chance.
Yeah, it's a good call on Berger. He has the four wins. Only one of them was really at a quality-type field. He has the Pebble Beach win. He won at Pebble Beach. That was a pretty good win because he outlasted Cantlay and Spieth. Like that was an actual like win. All the best guys played well that week. Then he has the two St. Jude's. The Charles Schwab when he won at Colonial was a really good one. Was a big win for him. That was the first event back out of COVID when everyone was playing. The thing is, he's played this tournament. He played this tournament last year. He played in 2019. Like, he plays the John Deere pretty often. He came fifth in 2017 and then finished outside the top 30 in the other two runs that he's had here. It's not like he shows up to the John Deere Classic and absolutely demolishes everyone by being the best player. That just simply hasn't materialized.
You know, I was just making that.
No,
like,
I get that, but maybe this is different.
Maybe it is, and it's the week before a major, too.
No, it's not. It's not the week before a major. That's also different for the John Deere Classic this year.
Yes. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I don't... I'm not betting Berger. I don't see myself betting Berger. Like you, I'm headed up away this weekend, and if I'm going to lose money, it's going to be online. I'm just going to throw some flyers around.
Yeah,
I'm not betting the top.
Yeah,
I'm
you can make this. I mean, it's going to be a very not necessarily low investment week in terms of what the payouts are going to be, but like the total like money in this week is going to be probably a lot lower. Instead of getting like six, 5, 6, 7, X my money if a winner comes through. Which doesn't happen, by the way, because I'm fucking terrible at picking winners, just losing money. The top 40s, my guy Johnny came through for me last week. He had a good week. I'm better at identifying those guys and betting top 30s than I am trying to pick outright winners. I wish I could just bet my guys to come in second. I've now hit 13 runner-ups this year on the board. I saw Pat Perry from the Tour Junkies. He hit Xander. He now has 12 outright winners for the season. That's like a vintage Feinberg Mayo season. 12 winners. I've had two this year. That's not good.
Yeah, I'm at four. So, you know, we're treading water, but finish strong. Get hot, finish strong. Let's go.
Yeah. So, I mean, the each ways have been coming through the top 20s, top 30s, top 40s, but just the big scores have not been there for me. And, you know, you can spend like $100 this week and get paid like $2,000 back on what you end up betting. And you can still like spread it around between six guys. So I think that's the route that I'm going to take. Webb, I think, is interesting. Just to the effect of he's 12 at some places, but DraftKings Sportsbook does have him at 16. That's the best number that's out there right now. He's looked like he's had some life in him over the past few starts. Just looking through the logs, like since he's come back at Heritage, the results haven't really been manifested, but the approach has been really good. It's been getting progressively better. Gained 3 strokes on approach at the Travelers, gained off the tee, gained on the greens. It's really nice to see. Like, I would feel more comfortable with Webb than Berger.
I'm pivoting off both of them. I don't even totally agree with that, but I haven't even thought about it enough. Yeah, Webb, it's like slowly coming back that if we got the full pop, not shocked. I have nothing to say on that. I would lean Berger, though.
Yeah, I'm just talking about for the odds. If it's going to be 12 versus 16, I would say that their chances of winning are about equal.
I can't see myself betting anybody who's ever won before. I almost wish I had a hunger scale. Like, who's hungry? Who's hungry? Get it.
SG tummy rumbles is what you're looking for?
I'm looking for that. And honestly, this is going to be like a very Cam Stewart thing to say, but the death of I get out on the town so little, Pat, that like it's not even a thing that bothers me anymore. And maybe I need to like drive to a college town. But the lack of like old crusty breakfast diner, just the death of it is just such a downfall of society.
They're all replaced by
these bougie places that have to like sprinkle parsley or something on my shit. No, there was a place that I loved and the demolishes came through and now it's condo and fuck. Like I need it so bad. I needed that grease so bad. So bad.
Are you talking about where you were or by your house? Because I can give you some locations in the downtown core that meet the criteria that you're looking for.
Yeah, but I don't live close enough to downtown. Not where I was, but near my house when I was like back and I needed it.
Oh.
And I'd even go there after recording right now. Because you might not be able to tell by looking at me, but I need an injection of grease to like offset things that are happening inside my body right now.
I would say, and this isn't the optimal way to do it, because I do think that diner food, especially greasy spoon diner food, you want you want it the moment it comes out of the fryer because it has diminishing returns the longer it is. However, if you did want to like get DoorDash or Uber Eats or anything like that, you can just kind of scroll through it, just put it in diner, see what you got. Like, there's a couple really good ones downtown that have been there for like forever. Like, the first date I went on with my wife was at a Greasy Spoon diner because I was so hungover, forgot about the Tinder match that I had, and just kind of like rolled in hungover, showed up to a diner. And then we still, every time we go to Toronto
legend.
Now,
you're a legend.
We go back.
The last thing on earth I want is someone on a bicycle driving me my Greasy Spoon.
Maybe you can request a car. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I get it. If all else fails.
But... Oh, my God. Daniel Berger just pulled out of this tournament, by the way.
Is that like, do we need to bet someone? There's no one. My only bet is 75-1. Who am I going to bet?
Webb, I guess.
I guess. But I just said I don't even fully trust him at the moment. I want hunger. I don't know.
I'm with you. But if there's anyone to bet.
The Heath is about to be 22-1.
Yeah, like if you wanted anyone at the top, now is the time, but
Bez? Like, you got to take your Bez 33 because that's going to be like 28 or 25.
Yeah, but I don't even think I'm going to bet Bez is the thing. I think I'm fine with like 70 and above this week. And just
I need to like bet Patrick Rodgers right now?
Yeah, if you want to bet Patrick Rodgers, okay, let's go to that range, that like 50 and below. So we'll just go to like 30 to
40, 45.
Yeah, we'll go to 30 to 50 because those guys are going to drop here in a second. You got like, let's see.
Denny?
Stallings.
Sorry, Denny was
already there. Stallings. Can you just let me fucking say the names? Thank you. Stallings, Long, Patrick Rodgers are all 35 to 1. The Todd Father, T. Gala, Day, all 40 to 1. Hardy, Glover, 45 to 1. Nick Taylor. Oh my God. John Hunt is 50 to 1 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Good Lord. Shez Reavy, Cam Davis, CT Pan. Like, those are the names that are now going to be 45 to 1, 40 to 1, 30 to 1, like down in that range. And the only one that I've honestly bet is John. And I bet him at 66 to 1 with an each way.
I just bet the Tagala 40. I don't know. Be hungry. Don't be upset. Get over it. Reeks of fairness.
I got nothing. Like Cam Davis, I would consider. Bezadenhout, I would consider. Champ, I did give a long look at because this just seems like a week where, oh, Cameron Champ gained 10 strokes putting. He won.
Yeah, but like, I guess he can just overpower the course totally. That's what he wants to do. Sorry for those. I get like really excited. Like when the guy at Burger with like that level of equity that I ranted about 6 minutes ago withdraws, my mind was like going 100 miles a minute. I'm sorry I didn't shut up. But yeah, Rodgers, Davis. I don't know if I'd need to just make the bets right now because those were who I was thinking of. And now, do I just allow myself to have a proper thinking process and lose 6 points or like just rush to make bets? But this site will let you cash it out and the number's probably going to be worse.
Yeah, but it never works that way.
I'm not even saying that they'll give me more money. I'm not looking to make $3 on the cash out. I mean, I can reevaluate and still have I'll get a full cash out if I decide it's not what I wanted to do.
Yes, I would agree with that. If you decide tomorrow that's not what you want to do, at least you have your number in at the better number. So yeah, I would highly suggest you do that if you know that you're going to get the cash out. Right now, it seems like they're fiddling around with everything. And trying to take Berger off the board. He's still up there right now as we continue to talk about this. Let's see if he's still at DraftKings. They'll probably be slow to the trigger as it literally just got announced on Twitter. But yeah, I think I'm good with not betting any of these guys. Huh is the only one I liked. I want the placements with all of these guys this week. Like just betting John Huh at 50 to 1 is fine and everything. He's probably not going to win, but I think he has a chance to win with the way that he's been playing. But if I don't have that top five equity along with him at the longer number, it makes it far less appealing, put it that way.
Okay, so in my degen moment, you've bet nobody. I will say I bet Sahith at 40, Rodgers at 45, Cam Davis at 50. Places where I can cash out fully, and I do not see myself losing a full cash out. But so that's where my head is. I don't have your discipline. I took the points and I'll evaluate after the fact.
If I was to ride, I mean, I don't run the Fantasy National event simulator right now, but in 1,000 simulations, Webb Simpson, even 12 to 1 right now, I bet you it's going to say he wins this tournament like 14, 15% of the time. I don't think I'm going to bet him, but I bet you that's what
you could be right.
I bet you that's what it's going to turn out to be.
Can I ask you a question? Question followed by the question. My wife got mad at me last night. Why do you say question and then ask the question? Normal people just ask the question. I'm like, people have been getting mad at me about that forever. I cannot believe it took you a decade.
Do you have a question? Question?
Mav McNeely's 40 to 1 somewhere.
Let's see. Mav McNeely is 40 to 1 at, he's 28 to 1 at DraftKings. He is 33 to 1 at this place. He is, man, where's Mav?
It's not a cash out though. I'll never be able to cash it out.
I see the 40 that you're looking at right now. Yes, it is a non-cash out location.
but it seems like a strong number. Well, a market strong number even before the withdrawal.
We just talked about not betting the top of the board. Now you've bet like five guys below 40.
They're not the top of the board.
That is the top of the board.
I bet three guys because I haven't bet the Mav bet, but I bet a guy at 40, 45, and 50.
I mean, that is the top of the board based on this field. Like those are
when they reconfigure, those guys might actually be the top of the board on the slashings. Not actually, but close. And I'm actually wondering if I should be. No, okay, just chill. You don't need Bez 33. You'll just wait.
See, that would be the one that I would have played. Would be the Bez 33.
Okay, that's,
no. I'm not playing it, but you can play it. What do you do with Jason Day in this field?
Ignore. He gets me. I'll be happy for him. Ignore. But he's an Ohio boy. Like, technically lives in Ohio. And some people say the reason he lives in Ohio cost him at least one major. But maybe he can win a John Deere this week.
I mean, it's always worked out so well for him at Mirfield Village, being local to that course. Nah.
Yeah, I'm not even saying he's local. You just said anyone like the regional tie guys. His are Foss regional, but it's been long enough. I don't know if desperation breeds brilliance for Jason Day. I will be happy for him watching on Sunday. I will not win money off it.
Oh, you should just log into DraftKings Sportsbook right now. You could have got Cam Davis at 50.
I got him at 50. Oh. That's what I said. So Heath 40, Rogers 45, Cam 50.
All right, let's go to this got to be your week, Jeff, because this is the official let's just name some names and bet them week. It's your favorite thing to do. I got some I got some names for you here. You ready?
Yeah.
50-1 and beyond. Ooh, Cameron Champ is 60-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook. That's not bad. I could probably get behind that. I got Johnny Huh. He is 66-1 with five placements. What else do I got in here? Adam Shank. He's the guy that we both bet right off the hop. He was 75-1. I think he's down to, he's 70-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. I took the five placements on him too. I like how Shank sets up. He's had success here. A lot of it was putting related, but he's actually playing some pretty reasonable golf at the moment. Tee to green. He needs to flip that putter back around. It's been a bad putting stretch for him, but for someone who's had success at this tournament, had success on these greens, and he's coming in with some of his best ball striking in some time. And I think you should really treat this as like an alternate event. We've seen him do well at some of these alternate events over the course of the past year. I think that's a strong number for him.
I totally agree with all of that and followed suit.
Okay.
Anirban Lahiri, 70-1.
Saw that.
Little pitch and putt.
He was someone that I'm shocked that the LIV Tour didn't grab. Like, it's stunning to me. Like, it just kind of goes to show us that LIV is not interested in making money at all.
Yeah, in the sense that you could get decent TV deals, like, in nationally. Like, that's why I think all Asian players should be their number one priority.
Yeah.
You've seen him make a statement, but, like, I get why Hideki would be, like, very fine. You get a big Japanese TV deal if you have Hideki Matsuyama golfing on your television, period. I don't know about India, but it's a lot of people. And I guess in a smaller sense, but much the same mindset. Like, they've got to find ways to care. And we can laugh at things in America, but if their view is like we're this global league, then that's exactly where their eye should be. Not Pat freaking Perez. Virgil.
Hideki, Lahiri, Haotong. Those would be my three targets. But no one asked me. I'm just saying that and putting that out there.
Siwoo!
Siwoo's got to go to the military service soon, so you might lose him.
Pay him to dodge it.
Become a South Korean draft dodger? He's probably not going to do that. The other part, I guess, would have to be... Yeah, I talked about with Kevin Clark last week when I did the LIV Tour versus the PGA
Great
Tour
show.
I really enjoyed that show. I thought it was, you know, it's just, I kind of want to do
I like that stuff a lot. So I actually really enjoy when you do that stuff. I enjoy when other people do that stuff, but I like that side of the conversation. That stuff entertains me.
I thought about some of the shows that we could bank because I probably do want to go back on vacation before football starts. Just, you know, because no vacation then. Then it's like 113 days in a row of work. Might as well get my vacation in while it's nice out in the summer. That maybe for each of the sports, we come up with something like, hey, we take like someone who's in the know about each of the sports, especially from the business side, maybe the TV rights side. And we do a series of shorter shows that is just, you're the commissioner. What changes do you make, and can this actually work for baseball, for football, for basketball, for golf, for UFC, whatever it might be? What are the right changes to make to the sport currently going on from the perspective of someone who both understands the sport, understands the economics, but actually likes the sport? Because all we've really seen from these commissioners, it seems like they completely detest the sport that they, and I understand that part of it when it becomes your life, that you just get beat down by everything, that it's hard to keep up that enthusiasm that brought you into it in the first place when it becomes your job, becomes everything that you do. You're never off the clock. I understand that from a commissioner's point of view, but just to hear maybe some outside the box thinking wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world.
I totally agree with that. 100%. On the other side, Pat, the people that disappoint me in how stupid they are like the golf fans that are like getting mad that they're seeing Rory shots in his meltdown or why he's not contending. Like, they clearly just don't get how this works. It's Rory freaking McIlroy.
Yeah,
you see the shots.
It's no different than, I mean, if Tiger just scrapes through the cut line, it's like, fuck, weekend ratings are going to be great for this because we're going to show Tiger all morning. Phil was the same way.
Yeah, no. So, like, how come I cannot believe you didn't show me my Nick Hardy shot? And I tracked it. Guy was pin stalking. But I don't know. And I guess that goes to a bigger problem. But I guess, like, it's the surprised aspect. But I also come here the morning after a major and act surprised that the coverage is worse than, like, exponentially inferior swing season events. So, you know, what do I know?
Is there anyone from 50 to 100 besides Shank and I bet John Ho that you actually want to get money down on?
Actually want to get money down on? No, but it's funny to see, like, I see Svensson 65, DK 100 elsewhere. If you could trust his putting, much like Doug Gim, you know, there's a chance like it's six footers all week. I did mention Lahiri to you, and I'm going to finish this off by mentioning two names. One, Lanto, because for some reason I can't stop losing money on a bad player like him, not even in outright markets. And two, a return of Pendrith, Pat. I'm happy to see him back. I'm not looking to, I guess, bet him, but maybe a little life, maybe some DFS.
I thought that he was supposed to make his return at the Canadian Open. Obviously, the rib injury was still affecting him to the point where he can't, so I don't even know if he's going to end up in this field. Based on the DK odds, I bet Sam Ryder, but I bet Sam Ryder at 160-1. He's 80-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook. I have a feeling that he's going to be a popular selection, so if you can shop around, find a big number, grab those placements. His approach game has been excellent over his past four starts. You just need him. Listen, he makes an eagle every second shot, but then he starts making triple bogeys. But he's another one who's played really well in alt fields over the years, and I think that's how we have to start to assess this. This is an alternate event with slightly better names, but most of the same names, and I think that Sam Ryder can contend in something like that. Lebioda at 80-1 also had my interest, but I don't think that I'm going to get there on him. I grabbed Ryder at literally double the number that DraftKings has him at right now. Okay. You okay?
Lebioda have a high crown. He had his run. I'm not, that one doesn't interest me. I'm very much in tune on the Sam Ryder. On my first look, that was one that caught my eye. I haven't bet it yet, but you telling me it's going to be popular is something
I'm only guessing it's popular because it's 160 in one spot and then it's 80 in another spot. Like, maybe it comes back from the 80, but it's definitely going down from the 160. Like, I'll guess.
And this is also, I mean, we always talk about, well, never mind. DraftKings best.
Yeah,
find it.
Yes, Paul.
It's already 125
at the other place.
At the other
place. All right, yeah. So that's steaming down. Like, 80 is gonna be the number. DraftKings just knew that should have been the number to begin with because that's where it's gonna end up.
Not surprised to hear it dropped.
But between 50 and 100, that's it for me. Stricker's playing. Like, why not? Wedges.
He's been playing really well. Phil won a PGA championship off a great little champions run. Stricker's been playing great ever since he came back from his like crazy illness. He's been amazing.
It's not that this tournament's going to be any different for him. It's still a pitching wedge and make 9-foot putts. He can do that.
He certainly can. He is not disadvantaged here. If, again, guys like Champ or P-Raj like want to throttle up and attack the course in a different way, I'm certain they can get it close enough to the green where they can be hyper-successful. But, yeah, it's a, Lee said it. It's the 10-foot, 12-foot, you want to call it a putting contest like the Amex, but that's the problem. Every bet I'm making, I'm like, do I trust this guy to get in fuego from 12 feet? Because you almost have to be betting him to win. And if he's got a scramble, he's dead anyway. So who cares about that?
Yeah, it's funny. When I looked at the distribution of where the strokes gained actually come from, like gaining strokes on the field on the par fives is weirdly like the essential thing this week. And you just wouldn't think that about this course because there's so many short par fours, but everyone's just kind of good at those, that the par fives, like being able to make an eagle or two along the way become, and there's a three shot one as well. I remember when Ryan Moore won this event, you know, he was just layup city all week. And just, if you can get dialed in from 125, like you're golden here.
Yeah, I mean, history tells you it really is that Zach Stricker player profile that lifts this trophy. And even the Bryson win, you call the outlier, that was like baby Bryson. That was skinny Bryson. That was the other Bryson.
Yeah, that was Mr. Accuracy, great with my wedges and putting Bryson, not I bomb now Bryson.
Yeah, pre-Hulk Bryson. So he, even when looking at the past winners, I would argue fits more into the mold of the, you know, right in line. So yeah,
100 plus. I've grabbed a few of these guys. So shout out to because I had bet this guy anyway, and then I got a DM from our guy John Rathouse, who is with the Caddy Network. He was on the Players Championship show breaking down that course because he had caddied for Seamus Power at the Players Championship before. He's coming out of retirement, Jeff. He's on the bag for Steven Yagabombs this week. 110 Ooh. To 1 with the 5 placements. Let's go. Let's cheer on our guy, Steven Yager. So that was nice enough to begin with, but I'm just looking at, I ran a very short-term model on Fantasy National. I went through it on the research show. So past 12 rounds, Steven Yager, number 8 in the modeling. Actually, number 7 now that Daniel Berger is out.
No, yeah, I was going to say, there was an event a couple weeks ago where Yager was like 3rd on my model.
It was Canadian Open, then he missed the cut.
Okay, fine. That's what it was. But yeah, no, he has been popping in some of these short course metric models, clearly. So yeah, friend of the program on the bag. I love Rads's content. I think he does really good stuff. I love his insight. I've actually even found myself retweeting a lot of it, which is like, I guess, the greatest sign of respect.
Let's see here. Earlier in the year, he went on a 3 made cut stretch, Phoenix, Honda, and Arnold Palmer. Then he missed 4 cuts in a row from the Players through the Heritage. Then he made 3 cuts in a row, Mexico, Wells Fargo, and Byron Nelson. Now he's missed 3 cuts in a row, Schwab, Canadian Open, and the Travelers. So by that trend, he should make the cut and perform pretty well this week. And he kind of got back what he wasn't doing well at the Canadian Open and Colonial. Like, he lost 2.4 strokes on approach in each of those events. He gained a stroke and a half at the Travelers, gained off the tee, just couldn't chip, couldn't putt, but has been a very consistent putter throughout the course of the year. And he's been very good around the green. So if the ball striking is back, I would expect a rebound out of him. You can get him 110 to 1 with the 5 placements, but it's more or less just pick your favorites.
He's got 130 at DraftKings, Pat.
I want those placements with these guys is the problem.
Okay. Well, I'm just letting you know, DraftKings 130.
The other guy is, and I mentioned him a bunch in the research show because he just kept popping up for reasons, I suppose. Great on short par fours. Great from inside 10 feet putting. Kelly Kraft, 200 to 1.
That was a name I was not expecting to see you betting today.
Well, here we are. It's a John Deere Classic. Kelly Kraft.
It is the John Deere Classic. It's where you believe in Kelly Kraft, you bet Kelly Kraft.
Paul.
I don't have a comment. I don't have a comment. But I said, like, play your duds. This is their season. This is their moment.
Paul, what were you in the market for?
Is Hunter Mahan in the field for Jeff or what?
Oh, we got some Jeff classics down at the bottom, I think. Like, if we really look deep enough here. Joshua Creel, Dewey Vanderwall, Camille Vajegas.
I saw Sung Kang at 300.
This field is so shitty that Patrick Flavin didn't even need to Monday qualify. He's just in the field.
400-1 on DraftKings.
There you go. You know Sky's going to be betting it.
400-1, eh? With some placings, you could make more than the winner.
The Elephant Man's in the field. John Merrick, 800-1. Oh, boy. Tommy Two Gloves is in this field, and he's not even at the bottom. He's only 300-1.
Hayden Buckley, 150.
Okay, now we're naming names. That's not a bad
name.
That's not a bad name.
Like, you're playing decent enough in really strong field events. I don't know. Like, I don't really have a case other than you didn't play horrible at the U.S. Open, and 98% of these guys couldn't even sniff the U.S. Open.
The numbers.
That's the case for Hayden Buckley, and he's 150.
Yeah, and he's Buck, and he likes to fuck. That works for me. I can get behind that. I'm looking at 150 as well, and this is just a pure what the numbers are telling me. John is number one in the numbers that I ran.
So you're betting and
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but Lee Hodges rates out really well for me. Why? I do not know, Jeff. Let's see. What's he up to here? Oh, he's gained on approach in three straight, made three straight cuts. Lee Hodges, DraftKings, first round leader. Let's go with that. He's 150-1 right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. And you have other guys. I saw Charlie Hoffman's odds just absolutely crater.
Did Doc Redman die? Because I feel a year ago in the shit fields, he was the guy people wanted to bet. And I'm seeing 200-1 on DraftKings.
I'm going to bet Bez.
33?
Yeah, 33. That's going to be the number. In on Bez at 33. He's the jabroni.
Ain't going to get better.
Yeah, he's going to be the jabroni of the week who's never won that everyone bets that everyone's going to pass on because his odds suck this week. And like Xander, and like Fitzpatrick, he going to win, but probably not. But if it's wedges and inside 10-foot putting, he does do that very well.
Very well. Sorry. Doc Redman's clearly still alive, but is his game dead?
Yeah, it felt like he was on a mini run a little bit earlier this year, and by mini run, like, not coming in last place anymore. He's not Smiley Kaufman, put it that way.
I just remember people had this thing with him that, like, he peaked in the shittiest events, but he was still at a low number. Now we're at the shittiest event, it's 200-1. So I wonder where those Doc Truthers are at.
His two best finishes this season was 25th at the Farmers and then 26th at the Players. He's missed four straight cuts.
This ain't it.
And he was 67th at the Valero, 48th at the Heritage. It's been a really bad run for old Doc Redman.
Okay, two more names. One just for the jokes. Grillo. The concept of the course seems like it's a Grillo setup.
Yeah, but you have to make a whole bunch of 7-footers.
And then when you think that 7-footer was supposed to drop and it doesn't, you give the whole two birds, the whole thing goes to shit. Smotherman, I'm seeing like a consortium of different numbers.
110-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook right now for the Smotherman. I never bet Smotherman. I just play him on DraftKings, and then he screws me. So I'm pretty used to that by now. Matt Wallace is 130. Like, he's a good player.
200, I feel like I even saw. I could be making that up.
The name that I really did want to focus on here is Goddard. Goddard played pretty well last week. I think did he end up making the cut at the U.S. Open? I can't remember now. I think he did. After we all used him in Canada, and he was dog shit and missed the cut. But I feel like he could be all right here.
Yeah. To bet him to win? Or like we're just going to have a nice week?
I don't know. We just had an amateur almost win the Travelers Championship. Goddard's supposed to be like one of the better college players who is coming out of college the past few years, and it looks like he's starting to get a little bit more comfortable. It wouldn't be, we saw Wolf win right away. We saw Morikawa win right away. Like, why can't Goddard win in this field?
All very good points. So 150?
He's 150-1. I don't know if he's any better anywhere else, but Goddard, 125-1 at other places. Oh yeah, there goes that Sam Ryder number. Like, I would prefer to bet Sam Ryder, but Goddard seems like he's all right. Let's see. He was T43 at the U.S. Open. He was T35 at the Travelers Championship, missed in Canada. But earlier this year, he was T7 in Puerto Rico.
Okay. I will defend this bet by saying 99 out of 100 times, Pat. 99 out of 100 times, I would rather bet the unknown of what the unknown ceiling that I believe Goddard has versus like just name me a handful of has-beens who are at the exact same number, who I know what they're capable of. And I'm not expecting them to give an eclipse this week.
Well, here it is. Here are the guys that are listed at exactly the same price as Goddard. Grayson Murray, fun times. Michael Thompson, Brandon, woo! My guy, Lee Hodges. I'd probably bet Hodges over Goddard, but he's another guy with sort of like unknown qualities. Hey, Kelly Kraft, I bet him, but he's I bet him at 200-1. He's 150-1 at DraftKings. But Benny Martin, Sean O'Hare, Paul's guy, Andrew Novak, Chase Seifert, Chesson Hadley, Vince Whaley, Charlie Hoffman, Captain Ramius, Buck Fox, Peter Malnati, Taylor Moore, and then Goddard. Like, Goddard has to have the highest upside of those guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are some other guys, but you could even go, like, shorter, like, to pick on, like, a Vaughn Taylor at 130. Like, who, I guess you could argue, you know, this sort of course can work. I would take my swing with the unknown of the ceiling of the Goddard than of your Woo, your Taylor, and pretty much 98% of the players you listed. Every time.
So we're doing it? We're doing Goddard?
I don't know that I'm doing it, but I'm saying, like, if I make that move there, I'm playing for the ceiling versus the has-been. Like, all my bets in that area will be for the ceiling versus the has-been, a la my Buckley call out, like much on that same line of thinking.
All right, I'm in on Goddard. 150-1 with five places. Yeah, I've already built my card. It's Monday morning. Oh, it's gonna be a fun week when I don't watch the John Deere. Although if I have a, like, that was the problem with the Travelers, why I didn't really care. I didn't have anyone in the running. Like, the only bet that I was like half sweating was John top 30. It was like, well, he should theoretically get this going. I think he finished T13, so it worked out. But, like, he's going to have a really terrible day to fall outside the top 30 here. And he didn't. That was the only bet that was even close to winning, because Steele and Damon and Riley ended up just going the other way.
That is not fun.
No.
I'll just put it at that. It was not fun. But it was, I was like, it was entertaining. You see a guy like Sahith taking on a player like Xander. And on that note, I don't know how much we spent time speaking about him, but I'm sure the Twitter loves the postman this week because of yesterday.
And they should.
And I've seen his odds drop already. No, as they should. Why not? Look at this event. Look at this field. Play the guy who's hot, who just lost to Xander Schauffele by a stroke like that or two. But I will not besmirch that one bit. I'm saying I've seen the line drop at almost around the shops.
Poston rates out number 4 in the modeling that I ran over past 12 rounds. It goes, Lee Hodges, Nick Taylor, Poston, Cam Davis, Stallings, Jagger, Svensson, Hubbard, Gutchewski, Stricker, Webb Simpson, Thigala, Bezadenhout, Pendrith, who hasn't played in like 5 months.
You know, you said a name in there that I haven't even seen. What are Nick Taylor's odds?
I think they're like 50-1.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they are 50-1.
Yeah, I don't. That's a guy I'm thinking about. But I don't know.
I mean,
I don't want to name anyone else.
Just bet him in the low Canadian market, since Hadwin's going to be like -500 to win this event by Thursday.
That is true. It looks like DK's just gone off the board.
Yeah, it just collapsed for me as well. So,
Then you'd lose your bet to Svensson.
Or I'm sure there's like legitimate jabroni. Is Roger Sloan in this field?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so you could lose your bet to him. Michael Gleeglick, you could lose to him. He's in this field. David Hearn at 500-1. Another Canadian in this field. Yeah, so it's yeah. Richard S. Johnson, I believe he is Canadian. He's 1,000.
Did you see Boom Boom? Jeff Overton is trying to Monday quali today, and for like the first time in forever.
Yeah, I think it's 5 years. I didn't realize that he had spinal surgery that got infected, and it was like a real tough scene for him.
Oh yeah, horrible.
Glad to see him back. I like Jeff. I mean, Jeff Overton was really good in like the late aughts, early teens.
He was like a key member of the U.S. Ryder Cup teams. Now you've seen some Ryder Cup pictures from an era that are like, who the hell are those people? But, you know, they're, you know, he was like one of the guy, like the top guys on those teams for a run, it felt like. I got no more names.
Quick picks and one and done selections for the week. I have, let's see here. Bezadenhout 33-1. Chris Goddarip 150-1 with 5 places. Jagr 110-1, 5 places. Shank 75-1, 5 places. Kelly Kraft 200-1, 5 places. Sam Ryder 160-1, 5 places. And John 66-1 with 5 places. That's my week. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be fun. Okay, so the bets I've made, I bet Shank at 75. And then, as listeners of the show know, mid-show, I bet Sahith at 40, Rogers at 45, Cam Davis at 50, just in like the, oh my God, I'm... When guys at the very top withdraw, it only costs me more money. Like, that isn't without a doubt. I think there was one time we hit it. Berger at Pebble. I think like DJ withdrew and he like click, 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 click. But for the most part, elite players withdraw just costs me money, like a tradition like no other. More money than I wanted in the tournament.
One and done picks for the John Deere Classic. Cust is taking the Todd father, Brennan Todd. That's why I failed to mention his name at any point because cursed. I'm going to go with Bez is my pick. So it's on you.
Webb Simpson.
I believe you have Webb Simpson to use. That's where the lean that I was at was Webb versus. Yeah, you're good with Webb. Webb Simpson. Like, that's got to be the pick this week in one and done, right? For, like, if you're in the lead in a one and done.
In the concept of, yeah, but for, like, I'm just trying to beat you and Tim. Pat. Yeah, so that's just the perfect pick. In the bigger format, I suck at those anyway. I'm always trying to pivot off that obvious pick.
Let's see. Daniel Berger withdrew from the John Deere Classic from 3 months ago. There's a Brandon DeGula just tweeted this out from the Sports Business Journal. Golfer Daniel Berger lands deal sponsorship with John Deere. Now he pulled out of the tournament.
Oy.
Oh, it's a tough scene in Silvis, Illinois at TPC Deer Run. All right, that will do it for us. Okay, that will do it on the Pat Mayo Experience. GFeinberg17 on Twitter. That way you can keep up to date on all of Jeff's... I mean, have fun doing content this week. There's actually a great DraftKings week for the John Deere Classic because people are legit not going to give a shit. People are going on vacation. They're not focusing on content. So I would recommend that anyone out there try to gather a consensus of what people are saying the plays are and just do the opposite of that. That is the easiest path to the top. I will talk about that 9:15 a.m. Eastern Time live on Mayo Media Network with Ben Raza on Wednesday, so tune into that or catch it on the podcast feed. But I assume you're still doing all your obligations of producing content this week.
Yeah, all of it. And you know, it's a, you know, especially like, you know, the lot, like books are gonna be all over the place. It's a hard event for them to get pre-tournament, Pat. If I was doing nothing this weekend, if I was home doing nothing, I'd almost consider making no bets. And the type of number you will be able to catch on like a Saturday or late Friday on a guy who the book has never heard of making its move that you respect, there's going to be like a huge opportunity. I'm going to be on the lake, so I'm going to miss it, but there will be a huge opportunity, I'm sure, for people to play that lane this week. Totally.
Sub to the newsletter. That's going to come out on Wednesday evening. And sub to Mayo Media Network. Smash a like to the episode. And let me know if you do want a research show that's going to be well in advance for the Scottish without the completely finalized field. But most of the names, I'm guessing the answer will be yes to that. But hey, if you don't want it, less work I have to do. Anyway, tune into the football shows coming out on Tuesday and Thursday. And we might even have a special Cust Corner coming out in terms of America Day next week. Or we'll just do golf instead. Either way, I'm Pat Mayo. Thank you all for watching. I'll see you next time.
Pat Mayo Experience! Experience!